Hello and welcome. This is the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net for the 7th of August, 2023. That's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, which stands for Super Dimension Fortress. If you are not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system that you can learn more about by directing your web browser to sdf.org. I will pause now for priority traffic or to allow you to disconnect from this conference if you don't want to stick around for our net. I am Alpha Bravo 9, Foxtrot Juliet, the net control operator today. My name is Wayne. I'm located in Urbana, Illinois, and my SDF username is JWH. This net meets every Monday at 0 Zulu or GMT or UTC, however you like to think of it, on Echolink node 9229, the TechLink conference. And we would like to thank Michael, BE6UX, for allowing us to use this conference for our net. This is a directed net. That means that if you have something to say, you give your call sign and wait for the net control to acknowledge you and give you the floor. Our net is open to all licensed radio amateurs, and it's not limited to members of the SDF Amateur Radio Club. We'd like to have a question or topic of the week to kickstart our discussions. And I didn't really come up with a good one this week, but there is a topic that has been on my mind a lot lately, and I couldn't quite craft it into a good ham topic. I was sort of halfway there, so call this a half-baked topic. Let me reset the repeater, the Echolink read. Okay. I am currently halfway through a double cataract surgery. It would be 12 or 13 days ago, I had an operation on my left eye to replace the faulty lens and put in an artificial lens in its place. And this coming Wednesday, if all goes well, I will go in and have the same thing done on my right eye. So I have been thinking lots of things about eyesight lately and for a while to come, because the post-surgery thing takes a while. So I thought, I know that we have some sight-impaired hams. I'm thinking of Robert and Philly, and I think there are some others. I know there are some on SDF. They just don't check into our net here. And I think there's a couple of local hams in my area here who are vision-impaired. So I was sort of trying to work that into a topic, but I thought that it might not generate a whole lot of discussion. But perhaps I'm wrong. If you've got some ideas about, maybe you know a ham who's sight impaired and you've helped that ham get into ham radio, that would be an interesting thing to talk about. So anything to do with eyes, I think that's kind of the topic this week. Now I see a couple of new stations have joined us here. I'm hoping that once this is all over, I'll be able to take these notes without having to squint so much. And that will be a boon, for sure. So, everybody on the dashboard here looks like a call sign that I've seen before, so I don't think I need to explain how we do check-ins here. So I'm going to run down the list so you'll know that you've been noticed, starting with VE6UX, N4RNW, VK6BQQ, KD9NDJ, PY2BIL, KC1TCA, N6TW. Okay, I think, did I leave anybody out there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I missed somebody there. Well, all right, whoever I missed, pipe up and I'll fix that. So, and in addition, maybe it doesn't have to be specifically eyesight and ham radio. If you just have, some things that have been on your mind about your eyesight, I think that would be a valid topic of discussion as well. So, ready to take check-ins or, come forward now if you have something to say. Wait a minute, did I forget my own procedure here? I think once I've given the list of who's on here, I just start going down the list. All right. I've had some crazy stuff going on here the last 5 or 6 days here, so please cut me some slack. All right, first on my list is VE6UX.
AB9FJ, Wayne, and the rest on that, Victor Echo 7 uniform X-ray. Tabalaya on the SDF user system. 27 degrees Celsius, 81 degrees Fahrenheit currently in Calgary, Alberta, which is where we've moved to. I finally got some stable internet and maybe even a stable system to get online for Echolink. I haven't had this for more than 3 years. So, yeah, cataract surgery. I'd like to get mine done, but the government won't pay for it until I can't drive anymore. That's the way it goes in Alberta. In BC, I was just about due and able to use it or get it. My brother-in-law had it. Used to have to wear glasses before, especially reading glasses, but since he's had his cataract surgery, he can read without them, so I'm hoping for the same thing. Outside of that, not a whole lot, Dwayne. I might be available for net duty now that if everything works out. I'll let you know soon. VE6UX back to net.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you, Michael. And yeah, I hope your eyes... I don't know. I may be kind of weird as an American who likes to watch the Marketplace show from CBC. And down here in the United States, we have this impression that the Canadians are all perfect, perfect socialized medicine and everything. But and like Britain, all right, but maybe not so much. Anyway, thank you. Next on my list is N4RNW.
Well, good evening, Wayne and the rest of the Nets. N4RNW, Harold here in Southwest Florida. Really nothing to report. I see that the ISS is supposed to go overhead in about 5 minutes. And I'm looking out the window to see if it's cloudy or what. So I'm going to step out there in 5 minutes and see if I can see the ISS go overhead. And at its nearest point, I think it's 245 miles straight up from me to it. So I'll turn it back to you, and everybody have a good night, good day, and N4RNW.
Okay, thanks for checking in, and happy viewing there. I never get tired of watching a space station pass. All right, next on my list is VK6BQQ.
AB9FJ in the group, VK6BQQ. Well, funny you were talking about cataracts. I've been waiting for a year now here in Western Australia. They tell me that we're getting the contacts, so hopefully that'll take place. But golly, I'll tell you, it's been a challenge here. I've got about four different glasses that I try to work on, and well, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. They get cloudy, and then I can't see what's going on, and oh my goodness, it's a mess. But yeah, cataracts, let's hope that we can get that sorted. That would be nice. I'd be able to see what's going on. Maybe even get my license back. But anyway, it is what it is. Great to hear you in here. AB9FJ in the group, VK60QQ Australia.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you, Reg. And it's good to have you back here in, on the net here after your travels and your travail with the airlines. Next on my list is KD9NBJ.
Evening, Wayne and the group. This is Ken, KD9NBJ. I'm in Rantoul, Illinois. My SDF username is KDB. Wow, cataract surgery. I'm near Wayne, and I'm aware of what's going on with him to a certain extent. I went through it myself. What I'm learning here from the first 2 seconds there is that after all my bitching and moaning about the U.S. healthcare system, that maybe it's not so bad. But here we have a choice. You get your choice of lenses and the free version, which is paid for by insurance minus deductible, is you get a distance lens in both eyes. I had cataract surgery in both eyes. And it's great. I don't need glasses to drive, but I definitely need glasses to read. There was an alternative that cost $2,000 where you could get one lens for distance and one lens for up close. And that, of course, messes with your depth perception to a certain extent, but I really didn't have $2,000 knocking around. Anyway, that's my rant on that topic, and it's great to hear others reporting on it, or lack thereof. So I guess it's not a panacea anywhere in the world. 89NDJ, back to net control.
Okay, thank you, Ken. And, just to give a little contrast there with my situation there, I also had the option of going for the fancy multifocal. If you know what bifocal or trifocal eyeglass lenses are like, they make a similar concept for the intraocular lens that replaces your natural lens in cardiac surgery. But they cost more than your insurance is likely to cover, quite a bit more, as you know, Ken said. And also, there are some downsides to it. Some people don't like some of the artifacts that you can get with those kinds of lenses. And another factor is that I have astigmatism. And that's a sort of a deformity of the eyeball, and your regular eyeglasses can correct for that. But a simple monofocal intraocular lens doesn't. So that with a simple lens, you would still need glasses all the time to correct for the astigmatism. But for a little bit more, in my case, I think it was $1,300 per eye, you can get an intraocular lens that can correct for astigmatism as well. So there's the chance that that I likewise will be able to drive without glasses at all, but I will still need glasses for reading and possibly for using the computer. There's kind of like three zones. There's the close-up zone for like looking at your phone or reading a book. There's an intermediate zone for things like using the computer or maybe watching a TV that's pretty close to you, or maybe the dashboard in your car. And then there's distance for everything beyond that. So, all right, I'm rambling now. Next on my list, PY2BIL.
Hello, everyone. This is PY2BIL, Guillermo, out of São Paulo in Brazil. SDF username is G. Cremieri. So I actually have a radio colleague who is severely visually impaired, not totally, but enough that he always needs assistance. But he can still read a large monitor or with large letters somehow, right? Barely, but he can apparently. And so he is on the radio all the time, actually, right? Both on the analog radios, repeaters in the region here, and he is having nets and everything, so that works for him. He has those screen readers too, so that assists him also. And then on digital, he is also on DMR. Another friend of us has built a little reader, right, in digital world that's a little bit easier, right, because it's data at the end of the day. So he gets a reader, and every time somebody else comes on, right, that DMR ID is on the net somehow, and this app captures that and speaks that ID and the call sign out. Not the ID, just the call sign out, right? And that's also beneficial to him. So, and he's not the only one I heard of, right? I heard of others too. So it works, radio works for them pretty good, and they're all pretty active, right? So that's what I have on this pseudo topic here. And by the way, my wife is online for cataract surgery sometime soon, I guess, next year or so, she has to do that. I'm not there yet, but I know I will get there too. So good luck to everybody with that, and to you, Wayne, especially for your upcoming surgery there next week. Back to you, AB9FJ. This is PY2BAR.
Thank you, Guillermo. Don't go away. I've got a question. I remember I used to use a thing called DV dongle. It was a little USB thing that you could plug into your USB port on your laptop or whatever, and it gave you the kind of access to D-Star that Echolink gives you to analog repeaters. And I'm wondering, do they have something like that for DMR?
We got PY2BAL here. Yes, actually, I have here one in my hands, known as ThumbDB. It's pretty popular there from Northwestern Digital Radio, known as DV3000U, and it's a little dongle, yeah. Plug it in, and then you use a free piece of software that has actually DMR, D-Star, and Fusion on it, and you just turn on whatever you want. And, yeah, I use that actually to broadcast over the Internet our daily DMR, or daily, no, our weekly DMR net, the Brazilian DMR net, which I'm part of. I use that to broadcast that over the Internet, so people who happen not to be on the radio that night, on a, they can pick it up from a cell phone or a PC or whatever. Right, so yeah, that's available, and it works, and the software is also free and available there. Okay, back to you, AB9FJ. This is PY2BAR.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Guillermo. I'm thinking that depending on how well the software was written, if it cooperates with screen reader software that visual impaired people are probably already using, that might be one cool way that they can have full access to DMR, even if they can't see the radio or the screen on the radio and so forth. So let me pass it back to you real quick if you have something to add to that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that would work. I never used actually a screen reader, but there are other dashboards, right? Actually, I'm having one open here. It's known as PyStar Dash. It's an alternative to the standard PyStar dashboard, right? And this one is developed by a W0CHP. And he has built some sort of an additional screen that pops out of your browser, right, that you can override, separate window, with all that information. And I'm sure a screen reader can process that. It's pretty simple what's on there, right, and have all the information. So yeah, as I said, it's data, and it's easier to handle and to display, and existing technologies for people who have problems in that sense certainly can pick that up. Back to you, AB9FJ. This is PY2BAR.
Okay, cool. Thank you once again. Next on my list is KC1TCA.
Hello, Wayne. This is Richard, KC1TCA, in East Falmouth, Massachusetts, which is better known as Cape Cod. My SDF username is Romeo Foxtrot X-Ray. I don't have much information about vision impairment and ham radio. I did have some experience from a volunteer perspective where we have a state-run service that helps pair people up, people with blindness who need assistance, and I did volunteer for that for a couple of years, but we never did any kind of ham radio stuff. It was mostly just everyday things like grocery shopping. I noticed a post today on Mastodon, on the SDF server for Mastodon, that mentioned that a lot of tools are not written for compatibility with screen readers, and so that's been problematic. But fortunately, my personal vision is still pretty good. I'm up to bifocals now, but I'm hoping it's going to slow down and maybe stay there for a while. And that's basically it. Okay, back to you, Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Charlie Alpha out. Thank you, Wayne.
Yeah, Richard, do you want to tell us how old you are?
Sure. Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Charlie Alpha. I'm 53 this year. I just turned 53 in May.
Okay, I'm trying to remember when I got my bifocal. So I think I was in my 50s. I might have been a little bit later or earlier. I'm not sure. But, yeah, so it took me a while to go from bifocals to, well, I think there's a general degeneration of vision with age. They call it presbyopia. And that's kind of independent from the development of cataracts. So you might go the rest of your life and not get cataracts, but you might continue to have declining vision and need different prescriptions and so on as you age. Anyway, I hope you don't run into any problems. So good luck. Let me think. Who else? N6TW is next.
Good evening, Wayne. This is N6TW, Noah in Livermore. SDF username NPD. So I don't have much to contribute regarding accommodations for ham radio, especially with regards to sight, but I am very interested in the cat control cables and devices that can actually speak and provide basically different interfaces that aren't the typical buttons to enable people with sight impairments to use the radio better. And I'm curious as to what experience people have there. N60W, over.
Well, I'm familiar with Kenwood radios, like the TS-2000, I think, has some extensive options for visually impaired people. And perhaps there are other companies that have done that as well, but I'm not familiar with them. If anyone else who is, you know, listening here has some experience with that, let's open it now and see if someone wants to jump in and reply. Okay, well, let's let everybody think about that. Maybe they'll remember something. I noticed that it's not a repeater, but Victor Alpha 3, November Foxtrot Lima, dash Lima. What's that, Al? Is that the name of the owner of that? Well, I think so. Anyway, from Grimsby, Ontario, has popped up on my dashboard. And so that means that there may be some other stations out there who are just now hearing us. So I should rewind and say that this is the SDF, Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net, for the 7th of August, 2023. And that's Sierra Delta Foxtrot, which stands for Super Dimension Fortress. I won't explain. If you are not familiar with SDF, it's a public access Unix system. You can learn more about it by taking your web browser to sdf.org. We do this little net every week on Mondays at 0 GMT or Zulu, UTC, whatever. And the short story is that we have so many hams who are members of SDF that we decided to have a ham club. And if you have a ham club, you've got to have a net, right? So we do the net on Echolink because, well, we're SDF users are scattered all over the world, and there's no single RF repeater that could cover. So Echolink or something like that is the only way to go. So is there anyone out there on DA3NFL who would like to check in to our little net here? Please come forward now with your call sign.
Yeah, it's Victor Echo, or Victor Alpha 3, November 5, Lima.
Okay, you have the floor. We'd like to know your handle, your QTH, and if you happen to have an SDF username, we like that as well.
I don't have the username. I'm not sure what I got into here, but I was looking for my buddy Reggie, BK6BQQ. It's been quite a while. DA3NFL.
Well, you're in luck. BK6BQQ is with us this week, and once the net is over, which is probably going to be pretty soon, you and Ridge can catch up as much as you like. So anyway, welcome to our little net here, and you kind of missed it already. But we do this every week at the same time. So if you want to try next week a little bit earlier and see what we talk about, you're welcome to do so. So At this point, I will ask if there are any stations who would like to make additional comments. Please call now. Okay, it sounds like the conversation has sort of run its course, so this is about the time to make a final call for comments or rechecks for the net, the suggestions, anything to do with our little net here before I wrap things up and close it out. So if you have something to say right now, please call.
KC1TC.
Go ahead, Richard.
I was curious about the making the connection using RF. In the area that I have, I'm not familiar with any EchoLink repeaters, which I think is what I would need. Is that right? So I have a regular radio, a small 5-watt handheld, and I was interested in maybe connecting to this net using an actual radio instead of a cell phone, which is what I'm using now. And so I think that I understand that I would have to be able to find some kind of a repeater or a gateway that crosses over from radio frequency to the net, the internet, and then and connect through that. Is that right?
Yes, you understand the basics of it. Are you currently able to use any local repeaters using your handheld?
KC1TC, yes, I am able to connect to some of them. There's a net that meets a couple times a week, and so I've been calling, I've been checking into that, and that's it. So back to you.
Okay, by the way, you don't need to give your call sign on every transmission. In the United States, the rules are at the end of your conversation, and if your conversation runs long, then every 10 minutes during the conversation. But so anyway, the next step is to determine if the repeaters that you can access with your HT are EchoLink enabled. And probably the easiest way to do that is maybe the next time there's a net going on, either maybe during the net or after the net, just ask, hey, does this repeater have EchoLink capability? And if they come back and say no, then, well, you know, you need to keep looking.
Okay, got it. Thanks, Wayne. And I do, yes, I know I'm probably over IDing myself, but I'm just trying to make sure I don't do anything wrong. And I don't mind if I'm too nerdy about it, but that's it. Okay, so back to you, Wayne. Thank you.
No worries. The other thing is that, you know, you're using your phone. You can there's also an app for PCs, you know, Windows PCs. If you're a Mac fan, I think your options might be a little bit restricted. Near as I can tell, the Macintosh EchoLink applications are problematic. Let's just leave it at that. And I'm thinking, what other options do you have? It might be that someone in your area has a Simplex node, but that's kind of an esoteric topic, and it's kind of an unlikely thing. I forget exactly where you're located, and it's probably not even worth discussing there. But let me open it up and see if any of the other stations that are with us here has some suggestions for you.
1060W.
Go ahead, Noah.
So for EchoLink, one thing that you need to do once you find an EchoLink-enabled repeater is have some ability to set up to link the repeater to this conference. And typically you need to know somebody that's a sysop to do that. But I'm also very interested in talking to the sysops in our local EchoLink linked repeaters to see if we can get a link to this net so that I don't have to use EchoHam. Oh yeah, and Wayne, on the Mac, I typically use EchoHam, which seems to be pretty good. That's what I'm on right now. N60W.
Okay, thank you, Noah. That's good to know that there's finally a reliable Mac app for EchoLink. And yeah, as you said, the thing about EchoLink-enabled repeaters is that there's no one way. There's a lot of latitude that each repeater owner can exercise about how they run their EchoLink repeater setup. We have a repeater here where I live, and we allow anyone who can access the repeater to dial up an EchoLink node. You don't need any special permission. You don't need to get a sysop to do it for you. You just start sending touch tones from your radio. We ask that they identify first and say that they're going to do Echolink, just so that everybody who's monitoring the repeater knows what's going on and who's going on. But we really have no way of enforcing that. I mean, if something really bad happens, we do have ways of shutting down the repeater remotely, but that's really the nuclear option. But other repeater owners may implement different procedures. I know a lot of them would have some kind of code that you have to key in first to enable an Echolink call or outgoing call. So, and they might keep that sort of secret. Anyway, there's a whole gamut of different procedures, and so there's no one simple answer that you can give to somebody. Oh, you've got an Echolink enabled repeater? Well, just do this and this and this. You know, we can't do that. Anyway, any other comments about this subject?
KC1TCO.
Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah. I think I got a lot of information, actually, so I think I have stuff to work with. I'll talk to the local, the folks here in this area that run the repeaters. They're part of the club that I'm in, so I should be able to talk to them and just see and start with it at a high level. So thanks so much for all the information and the feedback.
Okay, cool. And if you're a member of a club, you know, you might mention it at a club meeting, because you might have club members at the meeting who can give you information who do not necessarily hang out on the repeater very much. So anyway, thank you for your question. That's a good topic. So let me make one more final call for rechecks or comments or questions or suggestions for the SDF Amateur Radio Club Weekly Net. Okay, this concludes this week's net at, let's call it 0037. If you would like, as far as I can tell, the SDF DMR talk group 31650 is not functioning. But you can look for us in comm on SDF, probably in the Anon radio room. This is Net Control Station AB9FJ, saying 73 for now.
Okay, sounds like the net could be finished up there, and I'm going to head off to Grimsby, Ontario, Canada. VA